إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وخليله، بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الغمة وتركها على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وما قل وكفى خير مما كثر وألهى، وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، عباد الله، to proceed, O servants of Allah, today, inshallah, we will discuss a design for success. A design for success that you can deduce from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through istiqra, inductive reading of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also, you can deduce this design of success by simple mere reasoning. This design of success in our journey back to Allah has three parts, three elements, three ingredients, three qualities that each and every one of us must attain to succeed in this journey, in achieving and accomplishing our objective of this journey, which is to reach back to our destination, the destination of Al-Jannah, the destination of Al-Firdaus, Paradise. In order for you to embark on any journey and to carry on with any journey, you will need three major elements. One, you need to set the direction. You need to know which way you're going, which way you're heading. And that is the setting of direction. The second one is to know how to stay on track, to have milestones on the sides of the road, to have signs, and to be able to read the signs, and to read the milestones, and to understand them, and to read the map to stay on track. The third element, the third quality that you must have to be accomplished in your journey and get to your objective and destination is to have commitment, willpower, energy, what is called himma. How do you set the direction? You set the direction by knowing what is your ultimate objective. And this is when the first ingredient comes in the picture. The first ingredient is the ingredient of ikhlas. How do you stay on track and read the map and understand it and read the milestones and the signs on the sides of the road? That is the second element, which is the element of wa'i, which is understanding, comprehension, ilm, knowledge. That is the second element. The third element is to have the energy to move on, because you need to set the direction and you know which way you're going, which road you're taking. And then you need to stay on this road and not deviate and not walk off the road to the right or to the left. And that's where you need the understanding, wa'i or ilm. The last thing is, you can very well have this ikhlas, sincerity. You have determined your objective, which is the pleasure of Allah. you have also been able to amass a lot of knowledge, which will help you read the signs, read the map, and understand it. Yet, you have no willpower. You have no commitment. You have no energy. So you can stay idle at point zero. You can just stay still. Or you can walk too slow. Or you can creep or crawl on this journey. This is not a journey of creeping or crawling. This is a journey of running and hastening. Allah says in the Quran, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَّبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَسَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَّبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا كَعَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. So hasten to forgiveness from your Lord and to a paradise, the width of which is like the width of the heavens and the earth. So it is not a path of walking. This is a path of racing. This is a path of running. The journey back to Allah should not be about walking, should not be about crawling or creeping. It should be about hastening and about running. So you need to set the direction by sincerity, knowing that your ultimate objective is the pleasure of Allah. You need to read the signs and understand how to stay on track. And eventually you do need the energy, the movement, the hastening, the racing, back to Allah, and that is ulul himma. That is ulul himma. Or having commitment and energy and willpower. As far as the first element, which is the element of sincerity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حَنَفَاءَ. And they have not been ordained but to worship Allah with complete devotion. But to worship Allah with complete devotion and be straight on the path. Hanafa. Hanafa means deviated from falsehood, straight on the path of truth. So this is what Allah wants of us. Allah wants the devotion of our hearts. Allah wants the devotion of our hearts. And Allah will not accept anything except that which is devoted. Allah does not like partners. And Allah would not accept from us a deed that we have done for Him, for His sake, and for others, and for partners. Because Allah does not like partners. Allah, the Prophet ﷺ says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبَلُ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ إِلَّا مَا كَانَ خَالِصًا وَبِتُغِيَ بِهِ وَجْهُ. Allah will not accept of the deeds except those that are devoted and with which the pleasure of Allah, the face of Allah literally, meaning the pleasure of Allah has been sought. And with which the pleasure of Allah has been sought. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبَلُ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ إِلَّا مَا كَانَ خَالِصًا وَبِتُغِيَ بِهِ وَجْهُهُ. The Sahaba, رضوان الله عليهم, may Allah be pleased with them, and the righteous predecessors of Salaf, gave us the greatest examples in the matter of devotion. Look at Khalid ibn al-Walid, for instance. After he was removed from his post as a leader of the Muslim armies, and he was put as a soldier. He was removed from this post as the leader, demoted to a mere soldier under the leadership of Abu Ubaid ibn al-Jarrah. How can any one of us bear with this? Can we bear with this? Let us say that you are an emir of a masjid or an imam of a masjid, or you are the leader of an organization or the president of an Islamic organization and a president of Islamic endowment, a president of Islamic school, and one day someone comes to you and says, you're demoted. The people have chosen someone else to lead this organization, and now you're not the president, you're just a mere worker. Are you going to be able to work at the same capacity? Are you going to be able to have the same zeal for that organization? It is very hard for us to do this. Why? Because of the lack of devotion. Because the work is not all for Allah. It is for Allah to an extent, but some of it is not for Allah. Had it been all for Allah, it would have not made a difference whether you are in the leadership or you are one of the workers, one of the simple workers who do the simple jobs. Khalid ibn al-Walid accepted the demotion. Khalid ibn al-Walid fought in the army of Abu Ubaid ibn al-Jarrah with the same zeal, the same commitment, the same consistency, the same energy that he had as a leader. It is up to us to train ourselves to be as devoted as him. It is up to us to have this much sincerity, this much dedication to Allah, and this much devotion to Allah. If all of the work is for Allah, then it does not matter what your position is and where it is. As long as you are working within the team, within the group, within the community, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak used to have his face veiled when he fought in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he fought against the Romans. He used to be one of the most fiercest fighters, but he was afraid of showing off. He was afraid that some of his reward may be taken away because the people would recognize him as a courageous fighter. So he always veiled his face so that no one could see him. One day, someone saw him. When the veil dropped, someone saw him, and he went to that person in his tent and took a promise from him that he would never speak of what he saw until Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak dies. Why? What was he afraid of? He was afraid of being known as a mujahid. He was afraid. He was one of the greatest scholars of his time, and he was one of the greatest mujahids of his time. But he was afraid of this. He was afraid of that recognition by the people. He was afraid that this recognition will eat up his hasanat, and then he will have less of the reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because some of it was already spent in this life by this recognition and this fame and this celebrity that he enjoyed. So he took a promise from this man not to hide one of his mistakes, not to hide his shortcomings, but to hide the fact that he is who he is, the fiercest mujahid in the army, so that he maintains and keeps and saves all the reward to the minute or the point or the time he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and gets his reward complete. That's the first element, and we have to raise ourselves on this quality, the quality of complete devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where our post, our position does not matter. What matters is what we are doing for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second quality is the quality of understanding. Why? Why? And this is a problem for us as Muslims, because for many of us Muslims in our Muslim countries, we have a huge and enormous problem with illiteracy. With illiteracy. This illiteracy is not only the inability to read and write, which is an enormous problem in our Muslim countries. I mean, we cannot rise as an ummah with this condition. We need to rise as an ummah. How could we rise when, you know, 20%, 30%, 40%, in some places 50% and 60% and 70% of our population is illiterate? They cannot read and write. The Prophet ﷺ understood the danger of illiteracy, which was certainly, for him, it was a matter of completeness. Because for him, it was an indication, a miracle, an indication that this Quran is from Allah. But for anyone else, it's a shortcoming, it's deficiency. And he recognized this, and he took as a ransom from the captives of Badr, took some of them to teach the people of Medina and the children of Medina how to read and write, because illiteracy is devastating for a nation. But the illiteracy that we have is not only an illiteracy with regards to reading and writing, it is also illiteracy with regards to knowing our religion, recognizing Allah. How could you love Allah if you don't recognize Him? How could you love Allah if you do not have enough recognition of His names, of His attributes, of His actions, of His sunnah with the evildoers, with His sunnah with the good doers? How could you love and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have faith and certainty in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you don't know much about His revelation? When you are disinterested in His book, when you're disinterested in His word that He had sent to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to convey to us, how can we claim to have love and certainty without recognition? Without recognitions of Allah's names, Allah's attributes, Allah's actions, Allah's word that is between us, that is all over the place. You have masahib, but the people are disinterested in knowing or learning about Allah's word and Allah's revelation. So we have to have more recognition, more knowledge, more understanding. This understanding is not only limited to the understanding of the religion, but it also includes the understanding of the reality that the Muslims live in nowadays. It is not enough to have enough knowledge of the religion. What you need to do also to be able to use this knowledge, to apply it, to implement it in the reality that the people live in, you need to have understanding and recognition of the reality, of the circumstances, and yes, of the politics of the time, of the economics of the time. Certainly not each and every Muslim will be able to have comprehensive understanding of these issues, but some basic understanding will help us in our own progress as individuals and in our progress as a nation. And some of us must have comprehensive understanding of those areas and those fields so that we can make progress as individuals and as a nation in its entirety. That knowledge of the religion, the recognition of Allah, the recognition of His deen, the recognition of right and wrong, the recognition of truth and falsehood, the recognition of the milal and nihal, the different sects and their ideas and so on. It is so pathetic that when you see a Sunni debate with a Shia, that you see that the Sunni has minimal understanding about the Shia's position, minimal understanding about the Sunni position with regards to the matters of disagreement, and they just stay idle, or they open their mouth like they're hearing news for the first time when they are involved in any debate at any level with people from other sects. This condition, this apathy that we have, we must recover from it. We must be people of understanding, people who are committed to our religion, committed to the right understanding of the religion, people who know how to defend Islam, people who have certainty. How could we have certainty if we cannot answer the misconceptions of the people of other religions, for instance, the people of the book? How could we have certainty in our way as Sunnis if we cannot answer the misconceptions of some of the Shias or some of the Khawarij or Badiyya or this or that? How could we have this certainty? Our faith will be shaken from the first encounter with someone who will instill some doubts or misconceptions in our heart. So we have to be ready, and we have to be prepared, and we have to know what our religion is about. That's another issue, the issue of wa'i, understanding, to stay on the road, to be able to read the map, to be able to look at the milestones around you, to be able to look at the signs and get to your direction. You have to have this why, understanding of your religion, certainty of your religion, as well as why and understanding of the conditions, circumstances, current affairs of the ummah and the other ummah in our times. The third part, or the third quality that we must maintain for this design of success to help us as individuals and to help us as an ummah, is the quality of ulul himmah, the quality of willpower. The Prophet ﷺ taught us that, consistency is extremely important. When you want to do something, you have to make it consistent. You should not be praying 8 rak'ahs today at night, and tomorrow 2, and after tomorrow none. But you should start with 2 today, and once you are stable, praying 2 rak'ahs of the night prayers, then you move on to 4, and then you move on to 6, and then you move on to 8. But consistent. The Prophet ﷺ taught us this. This is one of the most important methods of success. They call it incremental improvement. Incremental improvement. You see, when they first made the first computer, the size of the computer were pretty much as big as a room, a bedroom. The size of the first computer. Now they can have the computer as small as this. What is this? This is consistency. This is patience. This is incremental improvements. And this is what our religion teaches us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ O you who have had faith, or all you believers, اسْبِرُوا, be patient, وَصَابِرُوا, and outdo your enemy in patience. Outdo your enemy in patience. That means what? Patience with everything. Patience with science, patience with math, patience with perfecting our work, patience with developing our countries. Patience. The land needs blood. The land, our land, our countries need blood to protect our land and to protect our countries. But do the lands and the countries need more blood or more sweat? They need more sweat than blood. Blood is needed in certain conditions, contingent upon certain circumstances. The land will need blood to maintain our sovereignty, to maintain our independence, to maintain our pride, our honor, and so on. But what the land needs more on a consistent and regular basis is sweat. And we have failed. We have failed. And I do say this, and I dare to say this, as a nation, we have failed to wet the land, to water the land with enough sweat. We are not economically developed. We are behind the rest of the nations. Look not only at the West, but look at China, and look at India, and look at all other countries. These are Christians here in the West. But the Chinese and the Japanese are Buddhists, and Confucius and this and that. And even the Indians, the Hindus, are developing and making progress. Where are we? Have we watered our lands with enough sweat, enough energy, enough willpower, enough commitment, enough consistency, enough work to develop our nations and to deserve to be in the leading nations as we were for many centuries? We have not. We failed in this regard. Therefore, we must commit and commit with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will not be lazy from now on, and that we will have willpower and determination, and that we will invest our energy, our time, and our effort in the rise of our individuals and our ummah. Because the ummah consists of individuals. Your own success, your own prosperity, your own rise will contribute to the rise of the ummah. And simultaneously, you're working for your own individual success and for the success and the prosperity of the ummah. But the willpower is very needed. Sabiru, outdo your enemy in patience. Outdo your enemy in patience. Warabitu means protect your guarding posts. La'allakum tuflihun. That you may prosper. The Prophet ﷺ also teaches us this. He says in a hadith that was reported by Ahmad authentically, the most beloved deeds in the sight of Allah are the consistent ones even if they were little. But once we embark on a project, we must finish it. We must perfect it. We must do our best. Even no matter what this project is about. Whatever project we embark on, we must be people of perfection. Isn't that what the Prophet taught us? Didn't he say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ إِذَا عَمِرَ أَحَدُكُمْ عَمَلًا أَنْ يُتْقِنَهُ. Verily Allah likes of one of you when they do an action that they should perfect it. And that is what we need to do. We should be people of perfection. In every matter that we do, in every halal matter that we do, in every good matter that we do, whether this goodness is for this life or the hereafter, but we must perfect our actions. We must speak the words that are perfect. قُلْ لَعْبَادِ يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Say to my servants to say that which is better, that which is most beautiful. أَحْسَنُ. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْزَغُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Verily the shaitan tries to create disputes between them. That means that you are going to even perfect your words. Before you say anything, you must think about it. Is this good or bad? Is this going to help or not? Is this going to reconcile hearts or create disputes between us Muslims and trials and tribulations and so on? Perfection of even the word, perfection of the way we walk. You look at our youngsters. Look at how they walk in the streets. They walk like failure embodied in a person. They walk like this. And they walk slowly and they shovel their feet on the ground. And that is not the walk of someone who has dignity. That is not a dignified walk. Even if when we walk to the prayer, the Prophet ﷺ tells us, إِذَا أَتَيْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ فَأْتُوهَا وَعَلَيْكُمُ السَّكِينَةُ وَالْوَقَارُ فَمَا أَدْرَكْتُمْ فَصَلُّوا وَمَا فَاتَكُمْ فَأْتِمُوا. When you come to the prayer, come to the prayer with dignity and tranquility. Whatever you catch of the prayer, pray it with the jama'ah, and whatever you miss, make up for it. That dignity is important. That dignity and that tranquility, and the tranquility here does not mean that you're going to be overdo the humbleness. Umar ibn Khattab did not walk like this to show his piety. You don't need to walk like this to show your piety. Piety is in the heart. Piety is that you recognize the people as equal is that you do not see that you're better than the people. It is in your heart. It is in your mind. It is not in your walking. It's not that you walk, you know, like a sick man. Umar ibn Khattab never walked like a sick man. Umar ibn Khattab walked and the people would think that he's riding when he was walking. Umar ibn Khattab walked and the people would hear the footsteps of him in the Medina, in their homes. When he was walking outside in the street, they would hear his footsteps. So we have to perfect our speech, we have to perfect our attitude, we have to perfect our character, we have to perfect our walk and talk, we have to perfect our actions, and we have to be people of perfection, because that is what the Prophet taught us, and that is what the first generation were about. They were people of perfection. That is why they were able to succeed, that is why they were able to deliver the people who were suffering under the Persian and Roman empires from the injustices of those evil empires, and win over these two greatest superpowers of their time with very few resources and very few men. So this is the plan of success. To summarize, it is the devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the understanding of our religion, certainty in our religion, as well as understanding of the reality around us, and it is also the commitment, the willpower, the energy, the determination, the consistency of our actions. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه.